Well, hello again. Before I come to preach to us today, let me just pray for us quickly first. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just be with me now and help me to speak faithfully and calmly, clearly, Lord, and that as we reflect on what your word has to say about mothers, we would all be blessed by this morning, Father. And you would really speak through me to speak to all of us about what your word says about this. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. Well, the famed inventor Thomas Edison once said about his mother, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me." So today I want to preach to us about mothers, okay? A sermon specifically directed towards mothers, and not just mothers, also towards women who desire to be mothers as well. Today is Mother's Day. I hope it is going to be a good day for all mums, especially if you're a new mum, or if you've just had a child, if you're a mum again. We have a bit of that going on, of course. I hope, or if you are a mum-to-be as well, we really hope that it is a very special day for you. I am also conscious, however, that there are some in our service today for whom Mother's Day is uncomfortable at best and even painful at worst, because we know Mother's Day can mean many things to many people. And for some today, it's a day of sorrow. And if your mum has gone to be with the Lord, I hope that today is a healing mix of sweet memories and appreciation for what your mother did for you. In fact, with the passing of two beloved mothers this week, we approach today with a grain of sadness, of course. And so to you and everyone here, I would like to say welcome. Thank you for coming today on Mother's Day. And I hope that I can encourage you today by one simple fact about the texts that we looked at this morning. And that is that the Bible has a lot to say, some very good things to say about what it means to be a good mother. And we're going to look at this, you know, look at what the Bible teaches us by looking at the example of two good mothers, or three mothers really, and the influence that they had on their children in the Bible. So firstly, let's look at Jochebed. Now, who has heard of the name Jochebed before? Anybody? All right, a few people. Yeah, okay, a few. Plenty who haven't. It's funny, isn't it? Because we all know the name of Moses, okay? Has everyone heard the name of Moses? Yes. But we hear that quite a lot. But what's so funny is not many of us could really tell you the name of Moses' mother. Not many of us know what Moses' mother's name. And I can tell you her name was Jochebed, all right? And it's a shame, really, that she is given so little attention today, because clearly she is an extremely important figure in Moses' life. We see that very clearly. In fact, she actually seems to be the single most important influence in Moses' life, other than God himself, when he appears to Moses. In her, you see more than almost any other case in the Bible an example of what a great mother is. And why is that? Because it's clear it was Jochebed who was actually the main spiritual guiding force in Moses' life, even from childhood. It's clear, I think, that Moses' faith in Yahweh came from her. In fact, her name, Jochebed, actually means the glory of Yahweh, which is quite amazing to me because, as far as we know, Moses was the first one to whom God actually revealed his personal name. And yet his mother's name actually means the glory of Yahweh. Okay, so it's clear that she already knew about Yahweh before Moses did. And it's also clear that more than anything, Jochebed was determined to be the guiding force in Moses' life and teach him about Yahweh as well. Even as he was raised in the royal court of Egypt, his mother went to great lengths to make sure that she was the one who actually raised him and that she raised him to know Yahweh God as God. His mother worked very hard to ensure that this was the real education that he got, that in spite of all other influences, he would know the Lord as his God, not the detestable gods of Egypt, even as he was raised in Pharaoh's court. That's where she sought to make sure that he followed Yahweh God wholeheartedly. That's actually where Moses' faith came from. It's funny how we skim over that, isn't it? So it's clear that the faith of Moses actually rested in his mother first. And so, as amazing as Moses was, in reality, in many ways, we actually have his mother to thank for his extraordinary faith. It's funny the way we just seem to miss that, isn't it? So And here is something else that I want to want you to think about this morning. Another thing we tend to skim over as well. Moses was not just a one-hit wonder. To quote James Jackson on this, Jochebed actually had two other children. She was not just Moses' mother, of course. She was also Miriam's mother and Aaron's mother. Miriam was the oldest. She was the one who stood from a distance to watch what would happen when her baby was pushed into the reeds. And we can guess that Aaron obviously was second because he came before the edict was announced to kill all the children. But what is amazing is we see that the extraordinary faith that Jochebed, Moses' mother, had, she was also something she instilled equally in all three of her children, not just Moses. Just have a look at what Jochebed accomplished as a mum. She raised a daughter to take the responsibility to watch Moses from a distance and take the initiative to approach Pharaoh's daughter with a pre-prepared solution that would allow and ensure that Jochebed could still raise Moses as mother and that Jochebed would still be active and, you know, the mother that raised Moses. Later in Exodus 15, Miriam is called a prophetess, and she's only the third person in Scripture after Abraham and Aaron who are given that title. She was also the first worship leader in Scripture. We forget that sometimes, all right? Miriam actually, of course, led the women of Israel in song after they parted the Red Sea. So again, we kind of scoot over this, but it's clear that Miriam also had an incredible faith. She was a prophet. She had a great knowledge of Yahweh that allowed her to write this beautiful hymn. And so it's clear that Jochebed raised a strong, assertive, spiritually attuned daughter as well. All right? And of course, there was also Aaron. Aaron, as we've already said, was called a prophet. And he actually became God's mouthpiece to Pharaoh after Moses begged God to send someone else. And later he would be ordained, I was just reading this morning actually in my Bible readings, later Aaron would be ordained as the first high priest for the Jewish people, and every high priest thereafter would have to come from the line of Aaron. And I'm often struck actually by Aaron's loyalty and faithfulness to God along with Moses. Even when his two children were struck dead by God, amazingly, Aaron remained faithful to God in that. He showed an extraordinary faith, and we forget that sometimes. Okay, in fact, right through the story, amazingly, he, along with Moses, are the two people who remain the most loyal to Yahweh, right to the very end, which is really quite amazing. And it's clear that it was actually Jochebed was the woman who instilled that faith in him. Okay, so that extraordinary faith of those three children all came from their mother originally, and she worked very hard to instill that in them. And of course, again, there is Moses himself. On any list of the most influential people in history, Moses would have to be pretty high up there, wouldn't he? Okay? The law, everything about the Jewish faith came through him. Everyone knows who Moses is, and it was clear that his mother was the main shaping, influential force on his life. All right? So we see Jochebed was the greatest type of mother. She had ultimately one focus, one great focus, instilling her faith in her children, instructing them in the way of the Lord, making sure that they grew up to know Yahweh God as Lord and Savior. That's what she was interested in. See, mothers can be busy with all sorts of things, can't they? All right, I'm not a mother. I never will be a mother. But I know that mothers can be very busy with lots and lots of different things. And I'm sure that was true with Jochebed too. But Jochebed was most busy with instructing her children in the way of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We may think that the work we're doing isn't accomplishing very much, but we see from Moses' mother the extraordinary effect that it can have. Okay, a good mother who raises their children this way, we can see what an incredible effect it had, because what she did and the way she raised her children actually changed history. It changed the world. All right? A McCrindle study, because of course it would not be uncommon for us to quote a Mark McCrindle study at this church, but a McCrindle study confirms that mothers don't just raise their children, but they actually shape their identities and define who they become as well. Mark McCrindle says their role, so the role of mothers, is not just in raising us, but in shaping us. The impact of mums is highlighted by the fact that they are the most significant person in shaping who we have become. Okay, ahead of friends, ahead of community leaders, ahead of other family members, and even ahead of spouses. While mothers are often thanked for their protecting and providing role in the lives of young children, it is actually their life training and identity shaping that has the most lasting impact. That's what studies show unequivocally. The research shows that mothers are not only nurturers and supporters, but for the majority of Australians, they are our biggest life shapers. All right, so for all of you mothers, you are powerful. For all you mothers here, All right? Your influence is extremely great. The power and the influence you have on society is actually greater than any other person in society. Okay? You are more powerful in your influence and what you can do than anybody else. You have the power to use your influence as a mother, not only for good, but also for evil as well. All right? You have such great authority being a mother. Did you know, in fact, that undoubtedly one of the most significant shapers in the lives of serial killers and violent offenders over and over again is the role that their mother played in their life? With people such as Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer, always, it turns out, it was the terrible role that their mothers played in their lives more than anything else what shaped them to become who they were. So mothers, you have a great responsibility and you have a great influence. And as I've said before, there is no more important job in this world, in fact, than being a mother, all right? Mothers are what shape this society. And so we have to ask sometimes, how do we know as a mother if you're doing a good job? What makes a good mother? Well, there's lots of things, okay? Obviously, a mother's love is extremely important. You know, one of the most important things. Their loving and nurturing is what children need, all right? You might also say it's how well you taught and trained and prepared them for life. It's as we looked at before. It's the way mothers teach, train, and instruct their children is what shapes the way they turn out normally, more even than fathers. But ultimately, according to what the Bible says, the greatest thing that can distinguish a good mother is her spiritual influence on her children. All right, the most important thing, the greatest thing that a mother can do is have a positive spiritual influence on her children. A mother might be the most loving mother in the world, but if she knows about Jesus and fails to tell her children, then she has not done what is best for her children. A mother may teach or train her children very well in life skills, but life skills won't last into eternity. They will only prepare you for this life. A relationship with Jesus, on the other hand, prepares you for this life and the life to come as well. So let me repeat that. The greatest job that you can do as a mother, the greatest, what distinguishes a mother most of all, is her spiritual influence on her children. All right? We see that in Jochebed. We see that, of course, because Jochebed's influence on her children had such a profound impact that it's shaped the world and still affects millions of people today, including all of us right here this morning at Kings Park Community Church. That's what the effect of a good mother can do. And remember, too, more than ever, it's mothers, more even than fathers in many ways, who play an important part of that. Let me quote from Ryan Broadhurst on this, as he said. Let me illustrate another example of of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. As it says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. See, Timothy did not grow up in a Christian household. His dad was not a believer. That's what we know about the story. We read in Acts 16:1 that Timothy's dad was actually a Gentile, but it was his mum. His mum was a Jewish woman who became a believer in Jesus. So it was his mother who passed on this faith to him. And then as we read here of Lois and Eunice in that chapter, it was their genuine faith, as Paul says, that he knows and trusts that was in passed on and instilled in Timothy as well. I just love this incredible reminder of the simple and yet profound impact that can be had by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. I mean, when you think about it, Eunice and Lois are really a couple of unsung heroes in the history of the church, aren't they? You know, we sort of skim over their names, but consider with me for a moment just how important Timothy was, in the history of the church. In terms of continuing Paul's ministry, it was Timothy, he was Paul's protege and he was Paul's main understudy, who continued his work spreading the gospel even when Paul was in prison. Consider how important Timothy was in terms of establishing churches like the one in Ephesus. Many of the early churches were established by Timothy as well. Consider how important Timothy was in terms of having two whole letters of the New Testament that were written to him that are included in our Bibles now. So Timothy was a very, very significant force in the shaping of the early church, in the spread of the gospel. And that, of course, was all because of the influence of his mother and his grandmother in his life. How different might Christian history have looked had it not been for Lois and Eunice, who taught the gospel to Timothy? Okay? Some of you mothers here this morning are parents or grandparents. Perhaps you wonder if your influence is doing any good. And can I just encourage you that God does world-changing things through this, through the very ordinary, seemingly mundane discipleship moments. As you pass the faith onto your children and grandchildren, God is doing absolutely extraordinary, world-changing things through this. And so Paul seeks to encourage Timothy in the sincerity of his faith. And notice what he's not saying here too. He's not admonishing him or causing him to doubt himself, saying, Timothy, you better make sure your faith is real or you'll never make it. Rather, he's saying, I'm sure that this faith dwelling in you is the real deal. And why is that? Because it was the same faith that dwelt in your mother and your grandmother. And so Paul has so much confidence in his mother and his grandmother that he knows that the faith that dwells in Timothy is legit. Okay, he knows that because he knows Lois and he knows Eunice. See, Paul is assuring Timothy here, or he's basically assured of Timothy's faith because he knows his mother and he knows his grandmother. So these are just two examples of godly mothers in the Bible and the staggering impact that they had. You know, there's many more. There's many more we could look at. It was hard when I was coming to prepare this because, you know, Sky was asking me, what are your passages going to be? And I was struck because I don't know. There's numerous that I could use. I just had to choose these two. But you could also look at Ruth, of course. We're looking at her in our men's Bible study. She was the greatest kind of mother. Her faith was, of course, taught to her son Obed, who then taught it to her grandson Jesse, who, of course, then taught it to his son David, who became the great King David, a man after God's own heart. We could look at Hannah, who was a shining example of motherhood, a shining contrast to Eli. And we could speak of many others in the Bible. What we often miss is the great prominence that is given in the Scriptures to mothers and their role in shaping children's lives. It's meant to be an instructive lesson to us. Christian mothers are essential. I'm so glad that I had a Eunice in my own life, okay? In my case, my mum, Elizabeth. I'm so glad that I had her because she told me about Jesus. She taught me about Jesus. She took me to church. She taught me how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to tithe. She wanted to see me believe in him, okay, just like Jochebed did, just like Lois and Eunice did. But it didn't stop there because my mum kept praying for me, and she still is. Her prayers helped me believe in Jesus to this very day. So I'm so glad that I had a Eunice in my life. Now, I know it's also difficult because there are those of us who did not have a godly mother. Or, of course, there are those, perhaps, who did not have a mother at all. All right? I know how hard that is. We need to honour our mothers. And we also need to remember, too, that for some people this is a sore point. Some people had bad mothers. Okay? Unfortunately, there are some people who did not have a good mother in their life. Now, we know from the Scriptures that we are to honour our mothers in spite of whether they were good or bad. But of course, sometimes if there was not a good mother figure or no mother figure in your life, the good news we also have to remember is that ultimately we have God and we need to ask God to come in and fill those voids and those gaps, all right? So if you did have problems with your mother, remember that ultimately a mother's love was supposed to be a reflection of our great parent God. All right, mother love was actually something that came from God that he invented. And so thankfully we have him as the ultimate parent. And he is supposed to give us ultimately the parental love that no mother or father can do perfectly. So praise God we have him now to always fall back on. However, so praise God he is our parent ultimately. However, he has imparted so much of that responsibility in this world to mothers here. All right, so much of that now, that love, that care, that nurturing, that guiding, he has given to the mothers of this world to actually teach, instruct, and raise their children. All right? And we need to give great honor and great importance to how significant mothers are and how we cannot, none of us would be who we are if it was not for our mothers. And also, a shout out this morning to spiritual mothers as well. You know, some of you perhaps were not biological mothers, but that's the interesting thing because in the Scriptures, motherhood is not restricted to just biology, interestingly, all right? Some of the greatest mother-daughter stories in the Bible are actually not even about a biological mother and daughter. Look at the story of Naomi and Ruth, as we've been looking at, all right? Naomi was not Ruth's biological daughter, yet Ruth proved to be the greatest, well, Naomi proved to be the greatest spiritual guiding force in Ruth's life, and Ruth proved to then be the greatest greatest daughter-in-law or adopted daughter, that a mother could have. All right? So there is enormous importance also in the role of being a spiritual mother too. Many of us have also been and will have been, spiritual mothers to other people, to women or men. And that role is in many ways in the scriptures just as important or nearly as important as being their biological mother. So the role of mothers is the greatest role that anybody could have. It's funny because in the past I used to skim over Mother's Day. I'm ashamed to admit I didn't even call my mother on Mother's Day often. I'm embarrassed to admit that, okay, a public confession. But it's really sad because I realize now just how important my mother was in my own life. Okay, she was the great guiding spiritual force in my own life. And so we need to give such great love, thanks and honor to them. And let me just pray for us now. Dear Lord, we thank you for mothers. Lord, we've only skimmed the surface today, but we know, Lord, that mothers, as your scriptures say, as we know, are actually the great guiding, shaping force in our lives and in our society, more than anyone else. We thank you that we have you as the ultimate parent and that you ultimately provide what we know that mothers can't perfectly provide, yet we know that so much of your love you have handed over and given that spiritual authority and that role to the mothers of this world because it's so important. So we ask that you would be with all the mothers here today, that you would help them to be godly mothers who fear you and who honour you and who raise and respect their children to know you. And we pray too that all of us who have mothers would give great honour and reverence and love to our mothers for everything that they have done for us. And we just pray that in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.